Ravica Karlovac, Pick Yosh Shiny Yod.
No, people, this snow is a cousin of you. You know, if we just learn it, no, without going into it, and you know, just know this rough said this. When you go into it, you see, you can learn from it. You can learn from it the foundations of the Torah, of understanding of the Torah, the basics of the of Jewish history, the Torah, the history of the Torah, of how the Torah went from generation to generation. And how each generation had its way of struggling with the problems of the time. And as we can see, there's many, 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 many parts of the Jewish religion that the structure of the Jewish religion, well, you won't find it in the Shulchan Aruch. We won't be written in the Shulchan Aruch. What's the idea of what's the difference between Torah Bechtav and Torah Baal Peh? What is the power of Chachamim, the sages, and the power of Nevi'im, prophets? And how can you become a prophet, Nevi, and how can you be a Chacham, a sage? How can you become a Talmud Chacham? What's the way to learn? All this is, you don't find in the Shulchan Aruch. It's all here. So that's why it's so. So let's say, you know, this. This rough sentence. So anyway, now what we're learning is Mishnah. We learned yesterday Mishnah
Yud.
Yud. Yeah, Mishnah Yud. That was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said three things. He was the first Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he said three things. He said.
Do you have anybody on the phone?
What? Get Larry on the phone?
No, do you have anyone on the phone?
Forget what?
Do you have anybody on the phone?
No.
Pause that for a second.
No. Mm-hmm. Second Mishnah we're going to learn is about Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania. Whoever learns Mishnah, the Mishnah knows that always, many times, Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua. It's like a couple. Rabbi Yeshua says the opposite. It's like, you know, you have Abai and Rava, yeah, or you have Hillel and Shammai. Yeah, can we do Kitzavah? You have many times of Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Lezer says like this, Rabbi Yeshua says like this. These are like, it was like Chavrusa, yeah? Where Rabbi Lezer said one thing, Rabbi Yeshua said a different thing.
Yitzhak wanted me to call you. Do you want to listen to the class, or are you caught up in something right now?
Hi, Larry.
Just mute your mic. You know how to? Okay.
So we learned yesterday. We learned about Rabbi Eliezer. Usually, it's called Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol, the great Rabbi Eliezer, and he's brought all along the Mishnah. So let's open a Mishnah. And any third mission, you see, Rav Lezer says like this, and Rav Yeshua says the opposite. And he's called Rav Lezer Hagadol, and his couple, his chavrusa, is called Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua Hagadol.
The
real name, what?
They're really chavrusas.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. They both were great Talmidim of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, studied together.
I see.
And each of them had a different way in learning, so. As we know, Rav Lezer was special in his way, and Rav Yeshua was special in his way. So, Rav Lezer, if it says just Rav Lezer, you see every Mishnah. Just open, you know, just open the Mishnah. Hasirchus Sapor Lamiyan Nesach. Rav Lezer Oimer, Rav Lezer says, that Hasirchus Sachamot. Rav Yeshua says, Rav Lezer says, Osir, Rav Yeshua says, Mota. You see, I open another Mishnah. Find it here. Rav Lezer says here. Rav Lezer says Potter. Rav Yeshua says Chayav. Many Mishnah said this. Now, when it's always in the Mishnah, it says Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua. But here we know Rav Lezer is Rav Lezer ben Hurkanus, Rav Lezer the son of Hurkanus, and Rav Yeshua is Rav Yeshua ben Hananiah, Rav Yeshua the son of Hananiah. So yesterday we learned all about Rav Lezer. We learned the idea that he was the one who had all the knowledge. He didn't forget. He heard everything from his rabbis and didn't forget anything. That was Rav Lezer.
but he only stuck to what the rabbi
says. He stuck only what the rabbi says. And now if we remember,
he
let's
didn't come
remember,
up his own
exactly.
idea.
Exactly. And now let's remember the story. In this story of, we learned of the Tanur Shel Achnoi, the snake oven, yeah, in the great Machloikas, where Rav Lezer said Toho, and the other Chachamim said it's Tome, yeah, there's the argument. In this great Mishnah, very, very basic Mishnah, the basic argument is between Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua ben Hanania. Rav Lezer was going to say Toho, and Rav Lezer was saying, you know, the tree should show that I'm right. The water should show that I'm right.
The
walls. And Rav Yeshua says, don't interrupt. Rav Yeshua stood up and says, don't interrupt to the walls. And then when there was a bat call from heaven, yeah, an echo, when it came, an echo from heaven, like words of Hashem. What do you argue with my son, Rabbi Eliezer, that whatever he says, it's always what he says is true, and halacha is like him everywhere. That's what the echo of the sky came, of heaven came down. Rav Yeshua was the one who stood up and said, well, lo b'shamayimi, achoy rabim lahatois. That was Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua was the one who argued with him. And Rav Yeshua was the one who said, well, and as we explained it yesterday, well, we do have maybe the halacha from Sinai, okay. But from the same Sinai, there's also another halacha, that the sages and we all need, every generation, the chachamim of each generation, or those to decide. Rachei rabim lahatos. So Rav Lezer, you can say whatever you want. But that's it. If most of chachamim argue with you, even if the echo of the sky says you're right, no. Lo b'shamayim. Heaven is given to us, to talmidei chachamim of each generation, and we are here to decide.
But they violated the mechanism.
What?
They violated the mechanism.
Yes, exactly. And it's a mechanism we have to today. Yes, they did. I would say they.
Doesn't it make the ruling invalid?
They designed it. They put the point on. They put the finger on it. You know, because before you like before the, you didn't have so much machloket. You know, you didn't have it so much. You had the prophets. You had the Nevi'im. Yeah, usually the Sanhedrin had the decision, but then after the destruction of the temple, and after Rechem ben Zakkai, he built the yeshiva outside of Jerusalem, and then they had already many shittot, many methods of learning, many ideas. So it became machlokot. So that's when the time when Rav Shua needed to stand up and say, well, when we have a machloket, we decide according to what the most of the sages say.
But the mechanism works that we rule leniently with rabbinical things. But,
sure.
So why did they violate that mechanism?
No, the mechanism is that Chachmei Yisrael of each generation, the sages, our sages, yeah, were given tools how to understand the Torah. And if they use these tools according to what also were taught in Sinai, and if they use these tools and they understand according to these tools differently, and they decide, well, maybe a different Beis Din, maybe our earlier Beis Din said Tahor, but now we understand Tameh, so it's Tameh, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah, but the Rebbeinu usually stricter than what the Torah comes up with.
It could be strict, it could be also not strict, you know, it could change.
But majority of times it is.
But the majority of each time, of the
because if people are changing, they might go to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Analyze it wrong, and therefore they have to come up with a
different. It could be even they have a new understanding. Is this what they understand? That's it. That's what Hashem wants.
The previous generation is always greater than the later.
But still. So you have a set of rules. I mean, there is a set of rules when the generation can argue with the generation before and when it can't. There's rules about it. We won't go too much into it. Things they can, things they can't. So you are right in certain basic, but they can't. There's times they can change it. There is a way they can change it. We don't go too much into it because it's a bit complicated. But you're right, as a matter of principle, you're right. Like we can't argue against the Rishonim. Rishonim can't argue against the Geoinim. The Geoinim can't argue against the Amoraim or Tanaim and so on and so on. But the generation of Tanaim can argue. Even if it's 200 years, they can argue with each other. Like Rabbi Akiva, that was in a later generation, yeah, or his Talmidim, Rabbi Meir, yeah, could argue with someone earlier, because it was the same, it's the same cool generation of the Tanaim. So there's a difference. So that we learned about Rav Lezer. Now let's see who Rav Yeshua was. The first Talmud of Lezer we've learned about. Now we're going to see the next one. The next one is Rav Yeshua, yeah, the Chavrusa of Rav Lezer. Rav Yeshua was a Levi, and the Gemara says about him that his mother used to take his pram. When he was still a baby, he used to take his pram to the Beit HaMidrash in order that he should get used to Torah. Meaning, it's the opposite of Avlezer. If you remember, Avlezer was born on Ma'aretz. I didn't study any Torah. Only when he was in his late 20s. Rav Yeshua? No. Rav Yeshua, as a baby, he already heard Torah. And he was a Levi. So he was also in an honorable family, yeah, and he himself served in the temple as, if I'm not mistaken, as a singer. As a singer, you know, a Levi has two positions. In the Beis HaMikdash, one is to sing, and the other one is to be the gatekeeper. The Levim, the Kohanim, or those who, you know, who see to the Beit HaMikdash itself, yeah, they see to the Korbanot, yeah, the offerings. They are those who serve the altar, the Mizbeach, and so on. They have the jobs in the temple itself. The Levim have two positions. One position they have is to be the gatekeepers, but if they could, and they stand on the gates.
I thought they also do the watches at the night.
They do
the watch at the night.
That's, yeah, it's that's gate. The same idea. Okay. Yeah, the same thing. You know, the security. Let's call it that way. Okay, same idea. But if they have a good voice, then they used to sing. They used to stand on the 15 steps that led from the Azara to the Heichal, to the temple. You stand there, and while the Kohanim were on the altar, yeah, and serving the Korbanot, they used to sing the Shir HaMa'alot, 15 Shir HaMa'alot of David HaMelech. They used to sing it. That's why many of Levim have good voices. So, according to our tradition, Horowitz family is a lady. According to our tradition, is we are from the singers. And many in Horowitz family are good cantors, good singers. Yeah.
What's the Rebbe's brother? Make songs?
Make songs, yeah. Yeah. So he was a singer. He still saw the temple, yeah, sure. But when the great revolt happened, he helped Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He and Rav Yeshua together helped to get out Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai out of Jerusalem. We spoke about the story, how he managed to get out, how he managed to escape, and went to Yavne, and that's where they continued to study. Now,
can I join in?
Yes, sure. No talking, okay?
A question or an answer?
No talking. I was just saying that Rav Yeshua Bar Chanina was a lady. No talking. So, now Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, that's why it says on him, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says about Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, that's what it says about him, what is so special, it says about him, Ashrei Yoladet, happy is his mother that she gave birth to him. It's like Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying that, you know, Rav Yeshua ben Chananya is like holy from birth. You know, he was born holy. He was born to be a Talmid Chacham from the day he was born. He was born to be a Talmid Chacham. And he used all the tools his family gave him, his parents gave him, in order to grow up and be a great rabbi. Not the same as Elazar ben HaGadol, that he was in a difficult family, he didn't study anything, and he had to rebuild himself. Shimon Chananya had to hope. He was born, as you could say, was born with a book in his hands. He was born as a Levi, he was born to be close to Hashem, in a temple. Born in the Beis Medrash, with the babies to hear the Torah. That's Ashri Olam. And it's interesting, you know why? Because sometimes we think, you know, sometimes we could say, you know, someone who had to struggle, you know, like Rabbi Akiva, yeah? Or like Rabbi Elazar, was born in a family where they didn't raise him in order to learn Torah. He was born in a peasant family where they wanted him to work with you. Yeah? So tell you, let's praise him, because when he was in the 20s, he said, no, I want to go learn Torah. And he left his parents, left his home, and he went to and he starved himself in order to go and learn Torah. That's a great man, right? That's great. He built himself, right? It's something to praise about. I think Rabbi Rechon Zakkai says, you know, okay, yeah, because he went against, it's not easy, and he did things against. Sometimes, you know, you see, was someone who was privileged, was born in a good family, he studied as a small boy, and he learned Torah already from his boy. You know, why is there here to praise him? You know, he was born that way, he was born to be. No, because that is also in Israel. Because sometimes those who, you know, to learn Torah is for them, you know, something that it's too easy, you know, something that it's, you know, it's understandable, you know, it's part of the life. So sometimes what happens is, and it happens a lot of times, they don't appreciate it enough. They don't appreciate Torah enough. They don't put enough effort in it. They say, well, this I know, this my father taught me, this I remember. So they don't put they don't need any strong motivation in order to do it. So they don't study as they should. So you should also praise these, you know, that we think for us it's a privilege, you know. For them it was also not easy. They needed to, you know, to grow out of it and say, no, I'm going to work. Yeah. I had once when I learned in yeshiva, I saw it also later, it was true. My Rosh Yeshiva always used to tell us, he used to say, you know, I've seen here many children. He was the teenage yeshiva. It's called Yeshiva Ketana. It's when he came as a teenage. He said, I want to warn all of you. You know why? And I want to warn, that we used to say, so I want to warn especially those who have the talents of learning. I want to warn you. You know why? Because if you rely on your talent, on your good memory, and your quick understanding of Torah, and you don't work on it, I want to tell you my experience. My experience is that most of these talented young boys I knew, they're today big Amirati. Don't know anything about Torah. Nothing. And those who didn't have the talent, and those who didn't work hard, and they worked on the motivation, those are the big time with the Chachamim. They always used to tell us. You say, you think you're clever? Uh-huh. That's danger. If you think you're clever, and you think, you know, it'll be easy for you to learn, and easy for you to study, it's a big danger. Because you're not going to put effort in it. You're not going to be enough motivated, and you lose it all. So I think that when Rochan ben Zakkai is coming to say about this Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina, he's saying Ashri Yoladetu, meaning he was blessed from birth. He's saying even that he was blessed from birth, and even that it was, you know, it was, you know, automatically. He didn't take it, you know, as a Something that is, you know,
greater than others.
Something that is, I would say, Mouvan Melam, something, you know, simple for him. No, he didn't think it simple. Easy. He put effort, he put motivation, as if he didn't have any help. He worked on himself in order that he should become a Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya. So, that's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya. And what's interesting about him, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya was very clever. And a lot of arguments with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya that he has with Gentiles, with Caesar, with children. Very interesting. There's a story about Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya. He said that I was never beaten in an argument. Never beaten in an argument. Just one time by a child from Jerusalem. Beat me three times. One of the times is that I went on the way and saw this child carrying a pot, covered pot. So I asked him, well, tell me, boy, what do you have in this pot? So he said, well, if my mother would want you to know, she won't cover it. That's one story. So there was another story. Once I went on the way, I was on my way to Jerusalem from Yavne. And I saw two ways. So I stopped this boy, asked him, can we?
Same kid?
No, never kid. Also from Jerusalem. I asked him, what's the easiest way to get to my destination, to Jerusalem? So he said, well, we have two ways. He said, well, what's the shortest and what's the longest? He said, well, this way is the shortest, but the longest. And this way is the longest, but it's the shortest. What are you talking about? What did you say to the person? Say that's the shortest and the longest. Okay, I'll take that. So I went that way. And there was many stones on the way, and pits, and it was a difficult path. And a lot of weeds, and I couldn't walk. It was all bush. Difficult to walk. It was so steep. I couldn't continue, so I came back. And I saw him sitting on the way. I saw this child sitting on the way. I said, why do you tell me to do it this way? He said, it's short. You say this is the shortest. I said, right, this is the shortest, because it's very short from here to get to Jerusalem. So why do you say it's longest? Well, you saw it. It's short. I mean, the path is short, but it's difficult to climb up. That's what I meant. But this one is longer. It's easier to walk. So this is the longer but shorter. So no, that was a clever answer. And then there's another very, very famous story. A very famous story. He was a great Talmud Chacham, very clever. But he was ugly. He didn't look well. And he used to visit sometimes the Caesar. One time, and they used to argue, speak about philosophy. There's many, many stories about the arguments happening. So the daughter of the emperor once saw him arguing with the emperor, talking about some philosophical issues. So do you know, well, God gave such a lot of wisdom to you. But why did they put it in such an ugly pot? Why in such an ugly instrument? So he said, oh, you're all right. Can I ask you a question? They were drinking wine. He said, how do you keep your wine? In which sorts of pots do you keep it? She said, well, as you see, the servant just brought it. They kept it in clay, pots of clay. That's how they used to keep it. You can find it all today. Used to keep it. It's ugly. Well, why should you keep it in, beautiful pots made of silver or gold? So the daughter of this emperor said, "Oh, you're right. Well, we are the emperor. We have money. We're rich. Why should we keep it in pots made of clay?" So she ordered the servant to go down to the cellar and pour all the wine. Take it out of the pots of clay, pour it in silver and gold pots. Okay, and then it went away. A few weeks later, he came back. He said, "Okay, so how are we doing today? How is the wine?" He took the wine out. It was all the wine became sour. You know, the metal makes it's very bad for the wine. The metal makes some acid.
People giving you silver
becher.
Not bechers, but the silver
bottles
to put your wine in.
And it gets ruined very quick.
Afterwards, it gets destroyed.
It destroys it, yeah. The acid.
And that means it's a decoration.
Even if you keep the wine too much in the gavia, yeah, if you keep it in a silver becher, after half an hour it tastes bad. But always when we keep, you know, Eliyahu Hanavi, on say the night we pour it in Eliyahu Hanavi cup, right? Usually, you can't, if you try to drink it in the morning, if you leave it that way, you can't. It has a bad taste. So it. That's what happened to the wine. So Shulman Khan said, "Well, as you see, when you want to keep some good wine, you have to keep it in an ugly pot, in an ugly cup, in an ugly bottle. And that's why Hashem wanted to keep the wisdom, the high wisdom of his Torah. See, he made me ugly, because I'll be beautiful, it'll be nice, it would get ruined." The Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true. It is so. I mean, it's not just an argument. That's the way it is."
So, like, the uglier the guy,
yes,
the better the Torah.
The Torah keeps better.
Really?
Yes. The Gemara asks, but we know that some big, great rabbis were very beautiful. You know, Yosef HaTzadik.
Yeah.
You know, of Yochanan.
Queen took his head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Chopped it off. Just
that's Rabbi Shmuel.
Right.
Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah. It was so beautiful. She chopped it to skin. So beautiful. Terrible. And there was this Rav Yochanan who wrote the Yerushalmi, the great Amora called Rav Yochanan. He wrote the Yerushalmi. He was Yerush Lakish. He was so beautiful. He used to sit
at the mikveh.
At the mikveh. Women should see him. You know, they should have. Beautiful children. So the Gemara says, "Well, we know the water and the chamdo are beautiful, so why do you say it keeps only in ugly pots?" The Gemara says, if they would be ugly, the Torah would be kept better by them. It would be even greater than the chamdo. As a matter of fact. So that was Rabbi Shulman Hanan. He was a very, very clever guy, very sharp. One of the great stories is, no, it's one of the last stories. It's got to do with our generation, with the sphere time. It's got to do with the revolt of Bar Kokhba. You know, we know that what happened was later, times of Bar Akiva, there was a great revolt of Bar Kokhba, and they lost, yeah, and many Jews were killed, and very sad. The story goes that the emperor, you know, the temple was destroyed. Yeah, we know. Jerusalem was destroyed. But they were studying Torah in Yad. And they still had all of Am Yisrael, all the Jewish people still living in the Holy Land. We know, yeah? But what were they all missing? They were missing the temple. They had it all. They had Torah. The economy was good, but they didn't have freedom, yeah, not political freedom, they didn't have the temple. So one day there was like the emperor was thinking maybe to build the temple, not to build the temple, and they were beginning, yes, to do it, and for some reason they began to rebuild. The emperor said, "Well, maybe we should do it," and they began to rebuild it, but then change his mind for some reason, got too much into it. The Jewish people were very disappointed, very, very angry about it, and they wanted to open a revolt. So the Mishnah says, Gemara says, the Jewish people gathered in the Galil. Thousands and thousands. They had to get ready to revolt against the enemy. He said, what happened to them? He said, well, if this happens to us, it means Hashem wants to revolt against the Romans. We have to. He said, no, we should calm down. He said, but look what he did to us. Look what happened to us. He said, I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, Yeshua stood up. I want to tell you all a story. Once upon a time, there was a lion.
A what?
A lion.
Okay.
Now, the lion, king of the forest, once I was eating his meal, and he's eating like a piece, eating a piece of meat, and while he was eating, a bone from his prey that he ate was stuck in his throat. Got stuck in his throat, and he was choking. He couldn't breathe well, so he called the doctor. So who did he call? A doctor. He called a bird that has a long peak, chasida. What you say in English? It has a long peak.
There's a heron.
He called a heron. The heron came and came straight away, flew to the palace of the king, the lion, and stuck his beak inside, deep inside the throat of the lion, and took out the bone and saved his life. And the lion was very happy, so took it out. So then the bird told the lion, "Well, I'm a doctor. I deserve now a reward. I deserve a." I cured you. So the lion says, "Well, you know what's your greatest reward? That now you can go around the whole country, the whole forest, and tell everyone that what? That you put your mouth, you put your head and your feet in the mouth of a lion, and you took it out when you were alive. And you're still alive. That's your reward. They're still alive." So he said, that's the story. So Yeshua ben Hananiah, well, we the Jews, yeah, we are here between one sheep with 70 foxes. We're such a great big empire, the Romans, that tried to kill us, and we're still alive. That's our great reward. Let's thank Hashem that we're still here, that we're still alive. We don't need to go, we shouldn't fight against it. We're now in Galut, yeah? When Hashem will want us to build a temple, we'll build a temple. We should thank Hashem that we're still alive, that we're still continuing, that we still managed to survive. The survivement of the Jewish people, as I put it, the survivement of the Jewish people is like a bird. We are like a bird that live in the mouth of a lion and manage to survive. That's a miracle of the Jewish people. So we should thank Hashem of that. We shouldn't go and do, try to do any rebellion. Everyone heard the story, they calmed down, went back home. And he saved the Jewish people. It was very wise, very, very, very wise advice he gave. Because later, next generation, there was again a revolt, and they didn't have anyone to calm them down, and what happened was terrible. A real Holocaust happened. They rebelled the Romans, and what happened afterwards? The Jewish people were destroyed. And he was right, Yeshua ben Hananiah was right, he had the wisdom. So that was Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, one of our greatest sages. And let's see what he used to say. He used to say like this. He used to say, "Hu haya omer." He used to say, also three things with Aleph here. He used to say, "You should be careful on three things." Ein hara, yetzer hara, v'sinat ha-briyot. These three things you shouldn't have. You should get away from it as much as you can. Ein hara is bad eye. You know, to look at others is bad. Negatively, when you're surrounding, that causes you to get out of the system, out of the society. You know, everything you look badly on, negatively. So you're never happy. Everything is negative. The other thing is yetzer hara. Have too much a bad yetzer hara, as we call it. Too much. You have will. You have desire for bad things. The sinat abriot, hating your fellow people, hating society. Now, there's two explanations. One explanation is that you don't like the company of others. You sit on your own. And you're lonely. That's one explanation. Such people that you know, they are very, very, very not sympathetic. Yeah, very. They stay away from people. Other explanation is that you behave so badly that people hate you. People hate you because you don't behave as you should.
This more is the last one you're talking about.
Yeah, that's seen as abuse. You can read successfully in how it's written here.
Exactly what you said. Translated.
Yes. Before. Say it again.
Evil eye.
Evil eye.
Evil impulse.
Evil impulse.
Hatred of humankind. Every person out of the world.
Exactly. So it's very interesting, because as we saw in Rav Eliezer saying, but Rav Eliezer, as in by Rav Eliezer, also here we see it's three parts, and each of these parts is talking about another aspect. Yeah, one aspect is between me and God. The other aspect is between me and my fellow man, and the other aspect is between me and me. Yeah. So Ayin Hara is the way of my behavior. It's me and me. It's bad for myself, for my development of my soul. If always you look negatively on what's going on in the surrounding, yeah, you develop a bad temper, a bad nature, an evil nature. That's between you and you. The next part is
evil impulse
between you and God. Yeah, God says you should think you should do, you should be careful about. You should always do whatever is good, not whatever impulse tells you to do. That's between you and God. And the last part is
hatred of humankind.
That's between you and other people. So you see, we have these three parts. So beautiful.
You want to turn to your mother for a second?
What? Yeah. So according to what the Mephoshim say about it, one explanation is, and both of them are right, that these three things take you out of society, out of the world. You know, you also become a loner, and you also get cut off Hashem, and you cut off yourself. You're connected not with yourself, not with Hashem, and not with your fellow. That's the idea.
Bye-bye. today to kind of be cut off from society because...
Well, you should be in a good society, and this is...
Have you looked at the news lately? It's not really...
Should look for good society. If you see what was the show I said before, he did say that Eze derech ishara yavor leben adam, what's the right way you should choose? As we remember, Rav Lezer says, good eye, that was Rav Lezer, and he said, good friend, meaning good society. So for Rav Yeshua ben Hananya, good society is everything. Now let's remember, he's the guy that was born in good society.
Mm-hmm.
And he used it for good. He was the guy that good society built it. From the day he was born, good family, good surrounding. He was always in the Bis Medrash from when the day he was a baby. And he continued to be in good society. And it was for him very important. And that's what he says. In order you should keep in a good society, part of the world, part of the good world is, you should be positive about what you see. Don't be negative. You shouldn't go according to your evil impulses. And you should love the connection with human beings. And as we can see, with the stories of Yeshua ben Hanan, you can see how it was someone who, you know, was connected to, you know, was connected to society. He saw a child, he talked to the child, he spoke, what do you have in your pot? He went to see the Caesar and had arguments with him. And when he saw, you know, he knew his ways. He knew how to talk to people. Yeah, you can imagine his personality. He was a very, very, I would say, he was very, very social. You can see in his behavior. He had arguments with people, talking with people, persuading people, trying to help them, trying to change their minds, trying to calm them down. He knew his ways. He wasn't like, you know, those rabbis who sit. There wasn't. You know, just sit in the Bais Medrash and don't have connection with those. He was someone who was part of society. Society built him and he gave back. That's what Yeshua ben Hananya, that's the speciality of him.
It seems a good example of this would be, what's his title? It's the late rabbi, lord, doctor, knight, Jonathan Sacks.
That's a very good example.
Yeah.
Great example. Because that was the guy. Exactly, very good example.
But he
used to go around and talk to everyone. He used to give a broadcast on the BBC, used to visit the Queen, used to go around for communities all around England. Yeah, it's a good example, very good example. Yes.
But, you know,
he didn't do it out of, you know, making myself look great at all.
You're right.
He wasn't
was very humble.
Yeah,
very humble.
Yeah. The other part. He was in an interview and he told him, "Oh, you can just call me Johnny."
Yeah.
So the late Rabbi, that's Lord nice. Knight Doctor
Johnny
Sacks, but you can call him Johnny.
Lord Johnny.
But you know, like Rambam says that if you're in a if you're in a town.
Yes.
And they're wicked, you have to move. But if all the towns are wicked, you leave the country.
If
all the countries, you go out in the wilderness.
You
and you
go
live
to
in the
wilderness, go out to the desert. Right?
Yeah. And it seems that, you know, today, that the societies overall are wicked. I mean,
well, that's what we have yeshivas for.
That's how you look at it.
And that's what we have yeshivas for.
Well, hold on. You got the homosexual movement in America, and Rambam says the countries that accept this, they're going to fall. It's an abomination. It's not allowed.
That's
and you got countries like Saudi Arabia that are putting like 81 people to death for protesting, you know, like high taxes or whatever. So it's not a good situation. You know,
that's why we have yeshivas. We have Torah places and Torah communities. We try to, you know, to keep the
United
environment, yeah, keep the Torah environment. That's what we try to do, and not let the outside world to,
you know,
too much to.
You don't have to be part of that outside world.
Yeah, right.
And we both will protect you this type of world.
Right.
Just look at when we had the Gulf War, the Kedusha rockets. Now that we're firing thousands, all right. But they practically get hit once.
Exactly. It's a good example.
Get hit once.
Iron
and
Dome.
Who got killed?
This is our Iron Dome.
Totally against Judaism. The only
and
one
that's
died.
What Yechezkel says.
You know,
this is our Iron Dome.
What's so crazy is the last barrage of rocket fire from Gaza. The guys that got hurt were from Gaza. They were over here working. They were the ones.
Unbelievable. The only one.
The only ones.
But you put it right. That's what it is. It's, you have to be locked into the Torah world. Forget about the other part of the world. You're not going to change it. God will change it. God will decide if they're going to survive or not.
Right?
As long as we're going strictly to the Torah, God's going to watch over us.
Yeah.
It's when we, the people that are learning Torah, decide to go into the politics of them and start joining them, that's when it's right. That's why, what's his name, came out about going up in the Temple Mount from from the Buddha. All right? See, first of all, like we talked about, the rest of it talked about, the peace with the rest of the world. Why start up with them? I start up with them.
Yeah.
We know we own it. But God said we can't walk on it right now. Until I'm ready. All right?
Yeah.
And this is what he said. He says the worst thing is that these big people in the government that are going here, he says they're the ones that God's saying, you're kings, how dare you to walk on my territory? You're not pure. Sure. So one of them said, you got to go to the mikveh first. Give me a break. All right? Mm-hmm. You can't walk on that side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And we saw it 2 years ago, what happened. We did it. Immediately, the war broke out. Immediately. Mm-hmm. Last year, they forbid the Jews from going up there. No problem. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the Rebbe just said just now. You want to be protected? You've got to build yourself up in the, not only the yeshiva, but around a community that's grown. God will take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have faith in God then. But if you don't, and the institutions are hit a shul because of the Gabbai's God is kings, so he couldn't open up the door to the shul, so people had to dump it outside. And the institution hit on the inside. All right? God would protect us, but we have to have that emunah and have that faith. And the only way is to go into the total world.